Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. This is the third visit we've spent looking at the account of Samson's life in Judges chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. We started by asking what seems to be the main lesson the scriptures are attempting to teach us from these chapters. Before we go on further, David, I want to ask you if Bible biographies are easier to preach than other passages of scripture.
I think they are. I think that, storytelling is very easy to get people interested in, and these are wonderful stories. They're truthful stories. They're not as cerebral. If you're talking about younger people, it's much easier to capture them with a story than say, I'm going to tell you about this letter someone wrote. So yeah, I like them a lot. What's interesting too is that we're talking about four chapters in the life of Samson, and we're drawing lessons out, and there are many more that could be found, and we'll say what some of those are. But we're not looking at the life of Moses, or we're not looking at the life of David, which is over many, many chapters. So the lessons here are relatively less compared to David's, just because you have less material to work with. But again, no, they're very thrilling, and I would, if I had to choose between preaching an epistle or preaching somebody's life, I would probably choose telling the person's life.
Yeah, it's a nice story to wrap your sermon around. And here we've used three podcasts to talk about the life of Samson. Mm-hmm. And it's very reasonable to me to think that a pastor could preach a three sermon series or perhaps even more on the life of Samson and draw out these various lessons.
My guess is if you ask the people, would you like to have more sermons from Samson, they would say yes, because we're touching where they are in their lives. And probably the response we're calling for is going to be harder for them to work out than what we think. So, you know, where is the enemy attacking you by degrees? And what do you need to do? You need to put down a firewall there. You need to say, this needs to end. And this is the battle royal in my life right now, because I can see where it's going. You can't just preach one time and then say, that takes care of that. You need to go back and resurface the lesson, maybe by somebody else's life with the same lesson. That's something you can do. So you have to be creative and say, I'm not stuck by one format. I can go in a lot of different directions here. But I do think Samson's life is a very relevant life for where people are. We said there was one main truth, and that truth was that the Lord's special gifting should be used to accomplish what he has in mind. That was very clear. That was a big lesson there. And if talking about Samson, you miss that lesson, you really miss the key thing that is there. There may be a bigger one we didn't think of, but that seems to be a huge lesson. Then we talked last week about how the enemy works by degrees. We talked how you need to say, okay, with some situations, long enough, we need to change this. We need to come to reality here. You're not really my friend. You know, who's my friend, who's not my friend, those kind of things. Let's go back to some other lessons, okay?
Okay.
I have one, if you don't mind me leading off.
Please.
All right. There's a verse in here that always has caused me trouble. I mean, you're thinking, how could Samson have been so dumb? Delilah must have been either very clever or incredibly beautiful or something. But this is the verse that always gets to me. Well, I should say, I'm going to lead up to the verse, okay? When Delilah saw that Samson had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, come back once more, he's told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the seven braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he awoke from his sleep and thought, now here's the thing, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Now, the interesting thing to me, if I've never had my hair cut my entire life and I got these long flowing locks and somebody wakes me up fast, I don't care what anybody says, the first thing that I'm going to know, no matter what, is what happened to my hair. You know, because that's just, I mean, it's so much, it's impossible not to know that your hair's gone. I think, this is just my feeling, I think Samson had come to the place where he had toyed so much with things and his strength was always there up until the time before when he went out and clobbered the enemy. You know, he thought, this thing really isn't of God. This is me. Mm-hmm. The secret is in me. And so even when his hair was gone, he still thought, he kind of get his head together, but I'll go out and shake myself as before. Mm-hmm. And he didn't know the big thing was that the Lord had departed from him. Now, that's a very sobering thought. And I think there are an awful lot of people who have come to the place where their talents are so big, what they can do is so wonderful, the crowds that they've drawn are so massive, or the success that they've made is so phenomenal. You know, I have made more money. Why is this? It's not really God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's in me. The secret is in me. Pooey on the hair. It has nothing to do with it. It's all religious myth. You know, I am the one. The whole world centers around me. You know, and I've seen people like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's scary to me. Some of them are believers, some of them aren't believers. You know, you talk in the world, there are people who have, they're filthy rich, they're incredibly talented, and it's all me. You know, who gave me the ability? I was born with it and I developed it. You know, get off my back with this God stuff. Or even in ministry, you know, I am infallible. I will do what I will want to do, and nobody will stop me because I have the magic in me. And that's a very sad thing, and I honestly think that's where Samson was. The magic is in me, and that's a very, very dangerous position to be in. And Samson found out because very quickly, you know, he's from the top to the bottom. His eyes are gone, and he's grinding at the mill, and people are coming and making fun of him, throwing their barbs at him, you know. And at that point in time, his whole life is gone.
Yeah, part of the interesting aspect of that is Samson forgot what his mother had taught him, because the angel had instructed the mother to teach him that God was with him and that the Nazarite vow that she started upon the angel's instruction and then was to teach him so that he would follow it. He had every reason to understand that this was a gift from God. He'd been taught that.
So, well, he knew it inside, yeah. There's no question, but then he came to silence that.
That's right. That's exactly the point I was going to make. He had silenced the knowledge that he had had from his youngest days. As he became older and more self-assured, that overcame the reality that this was a gift from God. And I think you're right. I think when he woke up, he probably fully recognized his hair was gone, but by then he had convinced himself it didn't make any difference. That he was the one. And you can see how that would happen over all the years. He had never not had the strength in all the days of his life, because this gift was given to him at his birth. And even, the angel interacted with his parents even before the birth of the child. Mm-hmm. So you know that he never had a time when the gift wasn't present. I think of some composer who has composed beautiful music and then loses his hearing or loses his sight. The ability to activate the gift is changed. In some cases, it's impaired. In some cases, it's gone. All of that kind of thing. And yet you can see how someone would become so used to having the gift, they would begin to believe their own press release. They would begin to think it was them.
I've met people, I've known people who had incredible success, and then it stopped. And they've said to me later, I thought it was me. And I realized that I was just made very fortunate by God to be the right person at the right time, in the right situation. And now he's humbled me. And he may never give that back. You know, I don't know. But now I've come to the place where I've bowed my knee and said, it wasn't just me. It was something bigger than me. And I think we all have to keep that in our minds and say, you know what, God, I want to stay close to you. And I think it's so neat with Paul. I've learned how to be abased and I've learned how to abound. And my contentment is that my relationship to the Lord is right in all of this.
Yes, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a verses that I've clung to all my life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Mm-hmm. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. The part of that that has been very important to me in each part of my life is that in all thy ways acknowledge him. Whenever any honor or any praise or any elevation has come to me, I have always insisted on the opportunity of saying, this is not me, this is God. I don't know how that got burned into my brain, but it did. And I think that that's one of the things that keeps us from trying to co-opt for ourselves what is really a gift from God. We have to consciously and consistently acknowledge that everything we are and everything that we have comes as a gift from God. Not just what we have, but who we are.
Who we are, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. The essence of who I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a big lesson, and it's easy to forget it, and the Lord will continually bring you back to it. It's too bad for Samson. You know, Samson is a tragedy. You look at his life, and it is an absolute tragedy. 20 years is a long time to be the leader of your people, but it's relatively short also. And the opposite of that story, maybe we could look at some of the stories of people who didn't have that terrible downfall. That would be neat. Maybe we can come up with a person. But anyway, we've pretty well gotten Samson under our belt, and there are probably other lessons as well, but these are huge lessons. And they're lessons, Dean, probably to say, you may not find that one Sunday is enough to teach them. This whole thing of how do I say, God, it's not me. The gifts that I have are not because of my great skill. Now, I may have developed them, but what is there is a gift of God, and I always treat it as a gift of God. That's a big lesson for people to learn. So, and I don't know how you learned it. Probably those verses in your, I memorized the same verse when I was young. Somebody helped me memorize it. I wouldn't have memorized on my own. And but they stand you in very good stead over the years. And you're also aware, and I am as well, it's a tricky world. It is a very tricky world, and the enemy has every way and he can think of to come to the place where you think, I am really somebody. You know, I have the miracle is in me, you know. That's never it. Even in ministry, it's not who we are, it's who we serve. Mm-hmm. And the goodness of God to allow us to be who we are, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know I can look back over my life and see God's hand at every step of my life, and I know you can do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And God has given us opportunities that are just beyond imagination, but they're all from Him. They've all come for His purpose. And I will say that sometimes it's a bit of a challenge to try to figure out exactly what God is doing, but the confidence is there that He's led us this far. And step by step, He's opened up His way before us, as the scripture says. So one of the gifts that are opportunities or privileges God gives us is sharing that with others. We've walked with God a long time, each of us in our lives, and God's given us the opportunity of encouraging other people to follow after Christ and devote themselves to Him, because we can look at our own lives and say how blessed we are. And I can't imagine what my life would have been like without Jesus. I simply cannot imagine what it
would
have been like.
I can imagine what mine would be like without Jesus. I don't like what I see. Yeah, the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
Yeah,
indeed.
He's very good.
We're so grateful you joined us for our podcast as we wrapped up our time on Samson today. So we're thankful that you've been with us. You found our podcast on our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next sermoncoach.com podcast, when we will talk about...
Let's talk about Joseph, to get one of those guys who did it well the whole time, okay?
All right.
Joseph is in the last part of Genesis, a number of those chapters.
Okay, so if you get a chance, in fact, make time to take a chance to look through those last chapters in Genesis that talk about Joseph. He led a very interesting life, and we're going to talk about it on our next podcast. We'll talk to you then.